What up, and welcome to another episode of the Fortnite Podcast. Your host here, Monster DFace, bringing you guys another episode this week. First off, I want to thank you guys for downloading this episode, checking in with us, wherever that may be, whether it's Apple, Amazon, Spotify, Dash Radio, or any of your other favorite listening sources. We appreciate y'all, man. You see, in today's title of the episode, there's a lot to talk about, starting with the big TikTok ban, removing all Fortnite content from the platform. But it's not just Fortnite. It's everything in between. This is, of course, a big political, I'd say, problem going on right now. And, of course, an influencer problem as well. And then there's a lot more as far as sketchy orgs are concerned, maps possibly being glitched. And then, of course, you have Peterbot potentially talking about he is owed some big dollars. So we're going to go ahead and jump into everything here shortly. But before we do that, we, of course, want to welcome our wonderful host here. We have my boy Panda. What's up, bro?
Hey, man. Good to be here. Good to be talking about, TikTok bans, because I'm an avid hater of TikTok. No, I'm just kidding, guys. I probably should hate TikTok with the 4 to 6 hours I spend on it a day. But, you know, no big deal. Probably a good thing for my health.
Yeah, TikTok ban's not going to necessarily affect my life. I don't make money on TikTok. I rarely ever do open the app. And when I do open the app, it's just a check on post that I probably posted. I intentionally try to stay away. That's not to say I don't spend equal amount of likely unhealthy time probably on YouTube. So there is a vice there or another. Mine just isn't TikTok. Yo, SBG, what's up, bro? What do you think about this whole thing that's going on?
I hate TikTok. So they've banned me, won't tell me why, only give me automated messages. So like, F them. Except like, my whole philosophy is like, this is totally unconstitutional and the government shouldn't be able to do this. Nonetheless, I am cool with TikTok getting banned because I have a personal vendetta against them.
Well, yeah, let's jump into a little bit further. So TikTok has been under scrutiny for quite some time. I think America basically sees this non-American-based organization as a extra threat to the country. Why? Because TikTok essentially has captured the attention of the masses, and especially the youth, and has kind of led us down this new avenue where TikTok has become a platform of influence, quite literally. Not just because it's becoming the livelihood for some influencers and, you know, companies alike, but because there's all types of information that can be spread on there. And in America's argument here, they're basically saying your platform is full of propaganda. We don't trust you. And we think this is all spyware. One thing I do find interesting about this whole thing, and entertain me here, guys. Do you think because Facebook is owned by an American, Instagram is owned by an American company, so is Amazon, so is Tesla, so is Instagram, like all of the juggernaut social media and or Apple, like juggernaut companies of the world, are American owned. Do you think that this is just a ploy to keep like global control under like American wraps? Because really think about it. All of the like companies I named are like ultra, ultra, uber rich, like mega American corporations. And it's just something that like hit my mind. I really thought, yo, I think America's afraid to lose the social battle or like keep control of social status and what that means, because all the big social platforms are American owned.
Well, I got you covered on this one. Extensive coverage here by Life of Panda. So if you don't know, obviously, Javier covered the ban real quick. He talked about the U.S. banning the banning this, and in their reasoning was that incorrect messaging could be spreading and blah blah blah, and that this stuff could be taken overseas, right? All of which is pretty false. Like TikTok has actually come out and proven them incorrect. They use a multi-billion-dollar server in Texas that houses all U.S. based data, and that cannot be reached or connected to by anyone outside of the company, not investors, not anything else. Like, it's very controlled. And so if we're getting down to the brass tacks here, politics are politics. There's reasons that politicians are not going to talk about for banning things. But I think it's interesting that TikTok, they were going to try to ban it before. and it didn't work out because there's no reason. Like, it was just pretty tough to do, right? Then all of a sudden they start adding a shopping platform and some other things that hit home for some of the biggest lobbyists in the political space. And now it kind of forces the government to take more action. Because if we're being honest, you know how much market share Shopify lost to Google, or lost to TikTok? Google and YouTube lost to TikTok. Like, they're taking significant market share in a crazy way. And naturally, that's going to upset some companies. So if you're upsetting US-based companies that have a ton of money to throw at a politician to say, hey, ban this, do that, guess what the politician's going to do? Just like a little puppet. Bing, bing, bing. And so it sucks, though, because, and to reel it back into Fortnite, TikTok has changed so many Fortnite creators' lives in a massive way. Bronos being one of those examples. I know he's down to only 4K a month now, whatever. But he was making 20K a month off his TikToks. And so many other creators have reached similar stature. I know Reese Hub was doing well on TikTok and some others. So it sucks to see the way that they are taking this. But just know that the reasons on the surface most likely aren't the reasons this is actually happening.
Yeah, and something to kind of touch on, just really quickly. You know how those CPMs, like those ad revenue numbers, change month to month? Like, the creator doesn't really know what's going on behind the scenes, but it's likely because that's big global corporate America saying, don't spend your ad dollars on this platform. Like, because if they don't have the ad dollars, well, they don't have ads to put on your videos, right? So there's no money to make on behalf of the creator. So when creators start feeling like, dude, why am I not making money anymore? It was so good before. Well, I think it all has to do with this temperament around the platform. But SBG, you had some opinions there as well?
Yeah, so like, first of all, I'm not going to pretend that TikTok's not going to just be handing over the data to the Chinese government whenever they want to. they're a CCP company, and that's like legally part of their whole government business model, is part of the government owns part of the business. So like, that is what it is, right? We know our government spies on social media sites and has its hands in things. I honestly think the problem is that companies like Facebook and Google can't sell it to the Chinese government. So that's why they're like forcing the hand of TikTok to be like, oh, well, you guys are kind of taking a lot of money out of our pockets, so we have to now say you're American, let one of us buy you, and then we'll sell that same information to you guys, and then you guys can go do the same exact things you want to do. I really think, like, grand scheme of things, this changes nothing. If anything, like, TikTok may just die, a new app will pop up that does something pretty similar called, like, Mishmash, and it'll be like, oh, now we have to ban this Mishmash site. And if you guys don't know, this bill is like extremely overarching, where it gives executive powers to say, like, anyone that has like a foreign influence or owned by a foreign government, could be a website, could be an app, could be a company, can now be banned by the executive branch of the government. So it's like way beyond just TikTok, which is extremely scary. And that's my biggest problem with it. Like, if you have a problem with TikTok, cool, do that. But it did like our typical government thing of just like, let's throw in Israel, Ukraine, and Southeast Asia aid, and then hide the TikTok bill in there. And then no one will talk about it. And now we'll just like pass that through. And cool. All right. We did exactly what we wanted to do. And now no one will get mad at us.
Yeah. And to kind of touch on that, like SVG said, you know, I'm pretty sure the bill itself doesn't state TikTok. It states this blanket statement, like you mentioned, with these very certain, you know, defining factors. And if you meet those defining factors, by guess whom is the judge? The American government. Well, now they basically can sanction against you. So it's crazy stuff. We figured we'd throw it in here because it is very much closely related to all of our lives, as, you know, the majority of our listeners are, of course, American. But also, most of us create content on these platforms, and I'm sure a lot of y'all that make content on TikTok are probably, you know, a little nervous. I'd say don't trust the platform. It's probably gonna disappear or be sold or be shadow banned or no ad money. It's one or all of the above, basically. But let's jump into some of these other topics we have to talk about. Talk about sketchy things. America isn't the only sketchy place. There's organizations that are much sketchier inside the Fortnite space. And the one I want to highlight today, I don't think we've ever had anything really bad to say about this org. They've kind of done a good job of flying at least low enough under the radar to not be called out by us, but they've never been, or I feel like they've never given us a reason for them to call them out other than this first thing right here. But Agent GG doing some super off the wall NFT promotions, which, you know, NFT gets a bad rap, and there's some, I'd say, argument to be made that the technology is pretty cool and there's probably a case usage for it. However, does it fit in a space with a demographic like Fortnite? I genuinely don't think so. Last week's episode, or the episode we covered before, we really dug into the Fortnite guy and his return and his ability to reintroduce NFTs into the space. And I just feel like we're looking at the catalyst effect of that springboarding more of this NFT stuff into organizations' pipelines and making them feel like it's justified to jump in and do these types of promotions. And what sucks about it here, Panda, is they have a pretty prominent creator like Bucky standing behind this brand and essentially getting paid to promote to his audience another NFT scam or something like that.
Well, let's be honest. I don't think Agent has shied away from controversial picks when it comes to their roster in the first place, and maybe this was the reason why. Not necessarily directly to NFTs, but maybe their practices aren't necessarily always going to be above board, cookie cutter or perfect, right? And so an NFT activation, while on the surface it just has a bad rap in general, you look into this project and the project doesn't seem to have a ton of merit. And so even like, yes, NFTs still exist, guys. It's always going to exist. And on the surface, obviously, NFTs will always have a bad rap, but some projects can actually have some level of value. This one doesn't appear to have any. And I think that's where the problem really lies. Like, one of my biggest issues, and we always talk about it, the Fortnite guy, how I want to box that guy and like how I have beef with him, right? Like, that's always a thing. But it really stems from him just being a terrible person. And aligning with stuff like this. And so and Monster's very much right. He may have just opened up a gateway for some of these, I don't want to say lower tier orgs, but orgs that aren't at the front face of everyone's screen in the esports competitive space to do these things to attempt to survive. And we know, you know, as well as I do, guys, that it's one of the hardest times we've ever had in Fortnite history for an org to survive. So can I knock them for doing something to stay, keep the doors open? No, but I wish they would have picked something else.
Well, now, like, go ahead, SVG.
I feel like there's other ways this could have gone, but like, this is the easy money. And I think we've all learned through years of experience, the easy money isn't worth it. And I hope that they don't go down this road of like consistently pushing this and shilling whatever kind of game this is, and then the token that's attached to the game, because there's going to be lawsuits that wind up coming with it. I mean, it was one of the Paul brothers wound up getting in like a class action lawsuit, or multiple people. He promised this thing was going to happen, and then CoffeeZilla made a video about it, and then like that's turned into a big thing. So it's not like people are going to forget if you take their money and you don't give them what they ask for. So all I'm not going to speak specifically about the NFT or whatever it is, because I don't know. I haven't looked too far into it. Just be careful. Like Monster said, there's a lot of little kids that play this game that will look, from my perspective, it looks like a Pokemon Go spinoff in NFT world. There's a lot of ways that could go wrong. And I hope they don't abuse their audience, and this could be the move that then makes them no longer trusted long term if this doesn't go well, and then loses all credibility for like a short term gain. And that's what I meant when I started this statement, I guess.
Yeah, no, it just to kind of jump in there. like I said, Agent in particular hasn't necessarily done anything, in my opinion, to really warrant us to call them out other than this first action and this right here. But we're kind of in a time of temptation. And what do I mean by that? Like, whenever there's a crypto boom, whenever basically Bitcoin and Ethereum are doing well, all of the other little NFT tokens, they go crazy too. People start launching a ton of scam projects. Like, this is almost a second win, if you will. And it might be short-lived. It might be a long run for them, you know, as far as how much momentum this NFT space has right now. But basically, there's a lot of momentum behind a lot of these different little coins, and people are basically feeding into their gambling, because that's what they do. They try to attempt to scam one another, put a lot of money in, and then get out in as soon as it jumps up, you know, a couple big percentage points. That's literally what they do. It's so volatile. And it doesn't surprise me that projects are looking for aggressive ways to capture new audiences, and that's where it kind of ties back into Fortnite. So I say all that to say, yo, it sucks to see Agent doing this. It sucks that they're utilizing their prominent creators. And, you know, I wouldn't put it past someone like Bucky to go do something shorthanded. I mean, we've seen him come at Somerset's head and, you know, use his community to target others. So, you know, Bucky's been a dirtbag in the past, but I like to think that he's growing older and he might eventually just hit that turning point where, like, you know, he just becomes a young adult and does the right thing. However, it does seem like he's making the wrong choices still. And it doesn't seem like his org is helping him go in the right direction either. And that's what's more disappointing about Team Agent here.
And to be honest, just to wrap it up from my POV, Bucky has been doing this pretty consistently, not NFTs, but like the weird things, right? Remember the Limitless pill that he was pushing?
Oh yeah.
Right?
Did we ever talk about that?
That was not long ago.
Yeah,
that was literally within the last 6 months. And you know what sucks about it, right? Because I love nootropics. If you guys know anything about me, like the boys know, I love my nootropics and things like that to like manipulate the brain. And there really are like actual beneficial like mushrooms and things like that that can actually improve cognitive function. And this pill had some of that, not dosed enough to actually make any difference, but it had it in the label. And so, of course, that's another thing that Bucky has done in the past where it's like, dude, you're and his full advertisement for it was like, you can now unlock 100% of the brain. I win at Fortnite because I use Limitless pills, yeah, like NZXT 48, 44, whatever it was, right? And like, this is a pattern. And these companies, the sketchy companies, will continue to follow the pattern, right? Why do you think like Bucky was the face of that video? It makes sense. I mean, if you look at the post underneath, Scented replied, said he hasn't stopped playing the game, and Peter Bot has replied with a W, but which obviously is probably all like forced upon them because of the org. But if you look at the actual assets from the game, it no joke looks like they ripped the map and ripped the Pokemon Go like
layout
for the most part, but it's way more cluttered. Like, it's not a functional game that has any long-term value. And if they had taken like a little bit more time, like they could have maybe made something kind of cool, maybe, like, again, that's a stretch. But it looks to me like they literally just ripped code and then looked for gaming representatives that don't mind pushing the boundaries of what is right to shill something to a community and just landed on Agent, which sucks because I love Agent as a brand. I think they've done a lot of cool things as an org. Like, their presence at Global was cool. Like, there was just a lot of stuff that I loved about Agent, but sad to see it turn into this.
Yeah, it's crazy how one decision like this, a short-sighted decision, now all of a sudden you have what I would consider three of us who are leadership in this community to some degree. Like, we just feel so different about that brand now, at least me personally. If I feel this way, and now I'm expressing this opinion, other people are going to feel this way. And like that kind of ripple effect, you have to really take into consideration when you think about what you're doing forward facing with your entity. And I say all that again just to say, Agent, do better, son. But let's jump into a couple more things. Actually, I want to kind of spin off of that and talk about another organization. Peter Bot just recently got caught in like a whirlwind of a thread here underneath Elite's post. It seemed like he didn't necessarily appreciate the fact that the Elite's organization was commenting against him, because there was this little feud between Peter Bot and Elite in the past that seems like Peter Bot might have been cut early from the team or left the team. But something happened there where basically Peter Bot decided to jump in here. And SBG, maybe you give us a little bit more insight, but Elite Esports tweeted out almost a bait tweet, which, again, the leadership of Elite Esports, we know they're not behind the social media, and you hire people to write this stuff. So, but Peter Bot did not like that. He said, and I quote, "Keep tweeting about me. You still owe me so much money," with a bunch of emojis. And that just is what it is. And I didn't see any receipts beyond that. However, he did not like the fact that the social media guy behind Elite Esports is tweeting about him.
Yeah, I haven't worked for Elite Esports in a couple of years. I did work for them in the past, and from all of my experiences, all of the players' experiences that I've spoken to, it's only been good things.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the one thing, and we seem to come back to this all the time. I'm sure we'll have this conversation a few months down the road because of all the money getting thrown around by orgs, but Fortnite players like to get paid to do absolutely nothing. And there are contracts drawn up where you have to fulfill your obligations. That may be stream X amount of hours per week, post X amount of YouTube videos per week, participate in an Elite Esports video, and put the name Elite in your socials, whatever it may be, right? And if you don't do those things, how do you expect to get paid? And that's exactly what this was. I saw Blaze going back and forth with Peter Bot. Looks like Peter Bot has deleted his tweets since. And it's like, all right, dude, you hadn't said anything since you left the organization. You're just a little salty. You know you didn't do anything. I've heard from other players that like he didn't fulfill his obligations. He was actually a problem more than a help for the organization. So it's like, dude, what are you doing? Stop trying to rile this up. You left. They didn't say anything bad about you. You didn't say anything bad about them. Just leave it that way. Go accept your bag from agent for putting their name in your name, and then keep moving on.
You know, it's funny, like, and this comes up obviously when Peter Bot's popping, right? From both sides, Elite using Peter Bot's name now to leverage some interaction with everything going on, and of course Peter Bot popping in response to something that he knows deep down is not going to hold, right? But a moment like that can affect a brand in a big way. Fortunately, it didn't with Elite, because everybody knows, like, it's pretty obvious. And if it ever did actually escalate a bit from that Peter Bot perspective, a person like an NPen or any of these other players that have worked with Elite would step in and say, hey, like, this is not actually the case. And so I think that's why Peter Bot, probably more or less in his head, was kind of forced to back down and just let it go, because he's like, this is a losing battle for me. Like, I think the community knows well enough that Elite, who has held themselves at a pretty good standard, other than some of the stuff they post on social media, versus now him and Agent, which look at what we just reviewed, right? Like, if you look at like who you're going to like go to bat for, I think more people will go to bat for Elite than Peter Bot and his behavior. Or
it does kind of remind me how one time, and shoot, I don't even think you were part of the community, like as a forward facing figure yet, Panda. But mm-hmm. Like if you heard about this, I'd be more surprised. There used to be this application called Mayhem. SBG, you might remember it, but basically It was the Qbot tool before like Unite became popular or War Legends. And
I lived it.
The Mayhem bot itself was an application that you download on your computer. Well, I don't know what pro in the Fortnite space decided to start the rumor that it was actually Bitcoin mining on your computer, but it created this crazy bad publicity behind the brand, and it never let up. Like, I mean, never let up. Like, there were people that genuinely stopped trusting it based off of this like joke that was spun out of control. Not to say this isn't exactly the same, but I say that to say like Peter Bot targeting a brand can have like reputational damages for a long mm-hmm. time off the people that believe him. like Point Blank Imperial. You look at the impressions behind any of those tweets. I mean, if Peterbot sends a comment under your stuff, you're getting tens of thousands of extra eyeballs. Whether they touch your comment or not, they're reading his opinion, and they're going to then form an opinion. And they might not have ever even look into you much further. And we kind of seen that have happened in a lot of different times. But that was just one circumstance where it didn't turn out good for the other brand because of a pro doing something or saying something that might not have been true. Again, I think Elite has had enough time and tenure in this space, and they really have done some good work, and they continue to bring back more money to the space through their partnership with Earthlink and, you know, a couple activations. So I really do support Elite, and I'm happy to see that they have enough legs, and the community kind of understands, and they can see through the BS that Peterbot's putting down, because it could suck, dude. Like, imagine if someone like Elite really got their legs chopped from underneath them because people were just like, yo, that's crazy, and then everyone sided with Peterbot. Like, in a situation like this, that kills the org straight out of the Fortnite space. We don't even got enough of those to play with, right? Like, so that's really why I'm bringing this up, man, is because Peterbot, you know you damn wrong, and you should have not probably jumped in that thread at all. Whether it's a joke or not, it just can have some reputational damages that you can't take back.
No, for sure. I mean, look, SPG's got the most experience of the three of us when it comes to, like, interacting with orgs in general. And to be honest, I'm glad that it didn't have kickback on Elite, because the last thing we need is losing them.
Yeah, Elite. Yeah,
they've built up goodwill. They do a good job. And they are one of the few orgs that will stand up for the contracts that the players sign. And I respect the heck out of them for that. If you don't do the job, you don't get paid. And that was a big problem why a lot of the bigger orgs left, is because a lot of these players just would take the bag, not do anything, and then expect the bag, and then tweet out X and Y scammed me. And now that's not the sole reason. There's a lot of reasons why we don't have orgs in the space, but that definitely did not help.
I don't know if you guys remember when RBK ended up in that situation, but I also sided with the organizational side, where it's like, bro, don't pay this guy if he was doing nothing on your roster. Like, I just, and that was a hot take at the time, by the way. A lot of the pro players were on, what's that kid's name, man? He was an OCE. Y'all remember? It was a long time ago. But I remember that time specifically because I was like, yo, this is a hot take, but I'm for capitalism right now. That dude did not fulfill his contract. Don't pay him. Drop him. Actually, it began with a letter P. It's starting to come back to me little by little.
Harpy?
Could have been Harpy.
Harpy and Volks are the two RBK OCE kids.
Could have been. Oh. And I hope I'm not blending brands right now, but
Harpy kicked from RBK.
Yeah, man. Listen, this is like ancient news. This is like ancient news. But I'm pretty sure I'm pretty sure he was kicked for doing like nothing, by the way. And people were upset about that. And that was around the time when, you know, Fortnite kids started realizing, yo, if we all tweet, we'll get the org to jump, hop, and skip. Like, let's free Aqua from his contract or whatever. And they were doing like that kind of stuff together, like on socials. And orgs were just moving to the drums of social media. That was the start of cancel culture, guys. We found it. We found where it all began. It began in Fortnite. There you go. I'm stamping it. let's jump into a couple other quick hits here, though, as we start to gear up for the exit. Destiny Jesus had a pretty interesting opinion here. SBG, how about you take me through Destiny Jesus hyping up a little bit of ESL, he kind of had a dual take, right? Because there's two sides of this coin. ESL has a product that they just announced. We covered that last week. But they also had a product right before that I think was the lesser of all the evils. So let's jump into it.
Yeah, you know I'm here for any kind of zero build slander. So here's the Destiny Jesus tweet. Having the secondary comp mode of Fortnite swap from zero builds to 4v4 org-based hardpoint and capture the flag on custom maps might be one of the best changes yet. 10x more fun to watch at least. So that's his tweet. I don't know that it really makes it any better or worse. I also think that this is going to wind up being just as snooze fest to watch as zero builds. Zero builds is at least, I guess they will both have their fun periods to watch in vacuums. But as an overall product, I think it will be just as boring trying to watch multiple sessions of Zero Build versus multiple sessions of this game. But, you know, you throw four big name players against four big name players with a lot of money on the line. Yeah, it'll be cool with like a short burst of it. I just think if we keep having this build up, it's build up to nothing. It's going to really get boring.
Oh, well, I have a very opposite opinion of SVG. I kind of agree with Destiny Jesus. I watched some of the scrims and some of Jacob's VOD because he was like streaming him watching some of the stuff as well. And it's actually kind of refreshing to watch this. And it's interesting because you're watching it team to team. And again, even from our perspective as commentators, like you can build so much more of a story going into a hard point competition or a capture the flag competition than you can in a battle royale. It's just a fact. Like there's so much more that you can do with it, especially if obviously teams don't change and things like that. Because the BR, there's just so much more to it and so much more going on that you can't always focus on everything at like the teams you want to focus on. Whereas in hardpoint, you're focused on two teams trying to accomplish the same thing, and it's very controlled. So you can always kind of pay attention and build the stories around it. So like, I do understand that it's not like, it's definitely not Fortnite. I'm not saying hardpoint or capture the flag is Fortnite, but I am saying that like these game modes definitely have a cool competitive like atmosphere and landscape that can do well in the viewer experience, or is well or good for the viewer experience.
Well, I actually have an even different take than Panda. I think if we're going to have the secondary build mode, I feel like Zero Build is kind of fun. That's my opinion. To commentate over, to as someone who's did a fair amount of commentary over hardpoint game modes and other weird spin-off game modes in in-person environments with my interactions with the Twitch Super Bowl in a couple, I've done a fair amount of them. And I've done them in person, which I would argue like that's about the pinnacle of what that should probably feel like. They were not good. They were not that good. I do think there's a little bit of magic behind this particular ESL version at the moment, because it is the new shiny thing, and there is a lot of money, and we know there's going to be a lot of money, so that does add some excitement. However, if I had to choose today, gun to head, yo, ESL 4v4, like all these dope game modes and more development and beyond, or take us back to like, you know, Zero Build as a potential opportunity and track, I'm going to lean more towards Zero Build. That's just where I'm at today. But maybe you're right. I haven't seen these maps in action, especially in a competitive atmosphere. But I do think there's something shiny in front of us right now that it could be fun to watch and enjoy.
Yeah, the hardpoint's definitely way better than Capture the Flag, in my opinion. It's just like a more, from a viewer experience, I haven't played at anywhere close to a high level of what we're going to see. I'm interested to see like whether or not we continue to get participation in these events, because we saw last weekend they did a tournament that ran pretty much side by side with FNCS and it got almost no participants. This weekend's tournaments, they threw a little bit of money behind and the participation is better. I wouldn't say it's great considering it's like a $1,000 tournament. Little hint here. If you guys Google DreamHack Dallas Fortnite, there's a link that pops up. It says Fortnite Esports World Cup Qualifier, DreamHack Dallas. So it is guaranteed that is going to happen. If you click on the link, it says page not found. But I guess whoever's doing their like Google side, whatever they're displaying there, didn't properly close down that link. So DreamHack Dallas will have a qualifier to the Esports World Cup. Shout out FNTasia, found that earlier today. So little helpful hint for you guys that may want to play the game a little more.
And talking about those events happening overlapping, ESL has now, you know, transitioned their tournament platform to be hosted on their original mother company, Faceit. So it's like a Faceit website. You can publicly see the signups behind those events, and they're not good. Like they're really not that high. The best, and this is crazy to say, the best tournament that they have on there has a player cap of 128, There's 55 signups and applicants, and that is for the European region, which is our biggest region. In theory, you should have more chances to attract people because there's more players, and that's where they're based, and that's where a lot of their marketing and advertisement collaborative stuff has gone into, but they are not getting results out. So I don't know if they need to start hitting up, you know, us Discord folk and like getting some real people there if they want to put some marketing dollars. But clearly, I don't know, like trying to pay players to use their Twitters to drive signups, that just does not work. Like, and I want to know when companies are going to learn that. Like, Twitter's not really the place to recruit. It's a good place to, like, it's a resume place, in my opinion. You know, you put the eye candy up, you make it look good. But driving player base, like, you got to meet them somewhere else.
Well, I mean, a good example of that is, like, I've been working on this Vessel event with that team, right? And when they had wanted to put some marketing dollars around getting registration and getting some, like, names out there, one of the first things I thought of, I was like, okay, like, I knew Manu has done like a shout out here for eFuse literally weeks ago. Let me do the same thing. And he just put it in his Discord. And we got Cam, who is a North Carolina high school student, who is probably going to win. He's going to win the whole event, if I'm being honest. Like, and some more like high level players because they're in that Discord ecosystem. And so Monster, you're absolutely right. Like that, if that's what you're attempting to push is registration, you have to tackle where the players are at. And yes, there are some their players on Twitter, but it's more likely they're going to see it in the Discords that they visit every single day to play scrims and whatever else than it is that they're going to see it on the Twitter timeline that is already full of a million other things. And so good call on that one. I do also think their launch execution was not the greatest, especially now that I'm hearing they're going to do esports. This is an esports World Cup qual, because like, why is all this not coming out, number one, simultaneously? Like, launch these maps and say, hey, this is how you get to the esports World Cup, is playing these maps. And then on top of that, they launched it FNCS.
Yeah, that was a mistake.
The focus right now is the Fortnite Championship Series. Like, it's just, I don't know, the execution may not have been the best. I mean, obviously it's hard to pick with Epic taking up a lot of the next few months with FNCS, but.
Well, and saying this link is right, or this Google poll is right, DreamHack Dallas starts May 31st. That means you and three people need to get your butts a ticket to Dallas, buy a hotel room, buy flights, if you don't already live there, which is probably the majority of the population, and somehow get there quickly. So it's like,
and let's not forget,
are we going to see signups on this?
The prerequisites are teams. So it's not you. It's like you and the people you're probably signing up to go to Saudi with have to be there, and they have to be on the same org and or representative of a group. So There's a lot more than that. And let's not forget, last year this time, they also announced with like 30 days roadmap. I don't know if their data points to the direction that that's when they just sell tickets and it works, or if it's just a Fortnite problem, which I think it is just a Fortnite problem, because they've notoriously had a, unfortunately, slow approval rate, I feel like, when it comes down to getting their events sanctioned. And this year in particular, probably moving forwards indefinitely, is going to be a lot more difficult for them at the moment with Blast at the reins, as we have touched on in the past. Well, a couple quick hits before we get out of here. We did see on the timeline, shout out to our good friend All Dam from he's a developer in the space. He creates awesome maps. He basically shared with us that there's a potential that Unreal Engine, the UEFN in-game discovery, might actually be bugged. And he linked an article with the UEFN and creative dev team where they actually just outright admitted that, and he put it with a timestamp, admitted that there could be account bugs. So if you've ever put something out there or created a product and never caught traction, hey man, who's to say it's even not your fault? Like, it probably is your fault. Let's be honest. You probably made some garbage. But there's now a chance that basically your red versus blue map could have went nuclear, but you're just shadow banned or something. and you'll never really know. So with that, guys, I want to start wrapping this one up right here. Panda, SBG, I know you guys are casting this week or working on some cool stuff. So Panda, let's start with you, man. What are you up to, and where can the people find you this week?
Of course, you already know. Follow me on Twitter, LifeWPanda. Keep the there for all the updates. Literally, SBG and I are breaking down all the Vessel Fortnite gameplay over the weekend, the next 3 days. So make sure to tune in twitch.tv/VesselGG. Same thing on YouTube. Live stream will be on both platforms. And Vessel also has a YouTube video coming out tomorrow with Ken Beans. So it's kind of a simultaneous thing. So it's going to be good.
Yo, SBG?
Yep. I will be at Panda's house in his room all weekend, so make sure to go to those links that Panda just mentioned. Somebody's gone on all platforms. Appreciate it. Going to be a blast casting some North Carolina Fortnite, and have a great weekend, everybody.
Heck yeah, and I apologize if I confuse you with my alarm going off. I got to jump, guys. Hope you guys enjoyed today's Fortnite podcast episode. Don't forget to send all your complaints to me at monsterdface@gmail.com or on Twitter. I'm everywhere. Nothing crazy happening this week, but I hope y'all find this episode well. So until next time, don't forget to dance out those kills and boast in those victory royales. Peace, y'all.